this day of Pentecost, to me it's very important that we understand who we are and how we've gotten to where we are. You'll notice the sermon title, Children. You may head off to Children's Church. You'll notice that the sermon title is, I Pledge Allegiance To. And before us, we see two flags. In fact, kids, you can stick around just for a moment because you know the pledges to these flags. The first flag that we generally pledge allegiance to is the flag of the United States. Would you please rise and come with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And the second flag that we as a body, as a group of peoples, hold to and believe, and Brother Pete, would you lead us in this one? He says, what? I don't know it. I don't have the cardboard. Neither do I. So let's try this. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whom it stands. One Savior, crucified and risen again, with life and liberty for all who believe. Isn't that the hard one? Please be seated. Children, you may take off. We know this pledge because for most of us, we've did it all our lives growing up as kids, right? Children, how many of you say the pledge to the flag at school every morning? Awesome. Because you don't have to anymore, do you? If you don't want to say it, you don't have to. When we grew up, we didn't have an option. How many of us out there my age, a little younger, a little older, understand that? We were made to stand. Didn't matter what your background was, you were going to stand and you were going to pledge the flag. Why? Because we're citizens of this nation. But we who are in the Church of Jesus Christ need to understand something. We have dual citizenship. And that's not the first, that's the second. It used to be our first, but now this, He who is the Christ, is our first. For we are first kingdom citizens, and we are then citizens of a nation. And we have to understand that in reality. And where does Pastor get that from? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to read, or I'm going to read, and you're going to follow along, a large section. It's 2, 1 through 21. So please pay heed to the word of God, for thus saith the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Gentiles? And how is it that each hear them in their own language to which they were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying they were full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves and men, both men and women, I in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Blessed be the word of our Lord in Christ. Amen." When we come to the place of reading this historical record, it's not a story, it's history. It is a historical record of what happened in that day. This was the first induction into the kingdom for the Gentiles. We here in the United States have aliens who come into our midst, and they become citizens, and they undergo a ceremony of citizenship. And that is exactly what was taking place on this day. In this day, heaven had opened up for citizenship, for Christ had ascended to the Father, and the place that he had prepared for us, he opened up. It's called heaven. It's called eternity. And in that reality, then, we who are here, because he had to make room for those who were in Sheol, in Abraham's bosom first, and then us. And he says that. And in that, he opened up heaven that we could be living kingdom representatives, citizens here on earth of a heavenly kingdom. So as we come to the day of Pentecost, it is important for us to remember that at this time, I didn't read the whole story, their number was increased, and over 3,000 people came to Christ at that time. On the altar this day, you'll see two little white flowers that are sitting there in front. And from this time forward, when I learn or one of our elders learns that there has been someone who has received the gospel through this church, you will see flowers placed on the altar to represent those lives of people who have come to the Lord. I was going to put them on 2 weeks ago, and the Lord stopped me. And I thought, well, I'll do it next week then, Lord. And I went to do it last week, and he stopped me. And I said, "Lord, why aren't I putting this on?" He said, "Because Pentecost is today." So today we celebrate and know that there are two souls in the last 2 weeks from the profession of the word coming out of this church. We know that in the last 2 weeks that there have been at least two people who have received the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ and are now fellow citizens and heirs to the promise as we who are the body of Christ. May we give praise and glory to God. We need to understand that when you see those flowers, you need to be looking and saying, "We're going to be giving praise somewhere. There's flowers on the altar. We're going to be praising God because the kingdom just got bigger. We're going to be praising God because somebody just became a citizen of heaven that we know of." Now, does that mean that others aren't? No, because I'm going to tell you right now, as you are spreading the gospel, as you are sharing the faith of your lives, you're going to see people coming to Christ, and you may not know it. There are going to be people who come to faith in Nicaragua because we're sending Chuck, and we're sending Tom, and we have sent Wayne and Chuck, and we're going to be working in the life of this young man, Denny, who's going to be receiving the funds, $720. Give praise to God. Give praise to God. You're supposed to be alive in the Spirit, not dead in the Spirit. We need to praise God. We need to understand that we have received this message. You know, this message was real for the people of that day, and it's real for us because God says, my Spirit, the power of my Spirit is here and available to you. And we need to understand that when we're looking at what's going around in our world today, how many of us are pleased with what we see in the world? Do you know there's a reason you're not pleased with what you see in the world? Because we're not citizens of this world. We're aliens and strangers here. So if we're strangers, that means this place is strange. And it is strange. There's no two ways about it. We cannot call what is happening in our world normal. We have to understand that this is where it began, with Pentecost. And the turning of these people, because these people looked at the church and said, look at those strange weirdos, they're drunk. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they're drunk. And I think that's hilarious, because it's a little after 9 now. What time is it? 11? Okay, 11 o'clock. Is anybody here drunk? There you go. Scripture says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And as we are filled with the Spirit, we're going to look strange to the people of this world, because we're going to see the things of this world for what they really are. Our eyes will be open, and the blinders will be pulled off. The scales will fall from our eyes, and we will see the things of this world for what they really are, and how perverse and how degrading they are to humanity. And we need to walk in that reality. We need to embrace Christ and begin to emulate Him into this world, because some things happen during that day. And I want us to understand how those things have changed, what happened has changed us. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians in chapter 2. This is amazing, because I don't know if anybody else here knows it. A couple of you do. Pastor went away for a couple of days. I went away, left Thursday evening, and was up in the mountains Friday and Saturday, and I was hunting turkeys with JB, and Russell and Noel showed up, and we had a good time. But it's amazing to me, because Friday morning we didn't get to go out. It was too rainy and miserable, and so we kind of stayed in. Of course, JB and I had other reasons. We were up way late that night. We went to bed around 2:30 and had to get up at 4:45. That didn't work. But that day, after, please remember, when Pastor said he needed to get away, you need to understand something. How many of you have had weeks over the past couple weeks where you've just said, I just need to get away? I just need to throw it all out and say the heck with it all. I'm ready to quit, you know, back out of this thing, done, over. Ain't none of us been there, right? You know, and you all think Pastor Rich has it all so together. He's never like that. Wrong chicken. Wrong turkey. There you go. Because I still live in this body. Okay? And I'm going to say this, please take no offense, because none is meant. This is all about me. It's not about any of you here. I had enough. I was full. I couldn't take any more. That's what happens when you don't give it over to God. You do know that, right? Well, Pastor was full. My cup was about ready to overflow into somebody else's. And that's not a good thing when it's a cup of bad stuff, right? I needed time away from all the church. Okay, that's why I said, please don't take offense. And when I got there, what I ended up doing was spending till 2:30 in the morning talking about church with JB. I went to get away from this stuff. But you know what? Pastor's pastor. And JB's back here thinking, I can't believe he's saying that. I gave my heart to JB. I listened to him. I talked to him. And we worked through a whole bunch of stuff, okay? And it was neat, because that next day, JB and I were talking, and I had him out and was showing him new things. And you see, that's what pastors do. We're supposed to show our flock new things, the new things of Christ. Because though they may be new to you, they're not new to me. And there are people out there who've been in Christ longer than me who can show me new things too, things that I'm not aware of yet, things that I don't know. So I'm out there and I'm showing JB some new things. Now we're talking hunting stuff, okay? I took him to some different places. And while we were sitting there resting, because Pastor can't walk like he used to could, I was at a place we call Dead Bear Hollow. And when you walk into it, it's wonderful because it's all downhill. But when you come back up out, it's a bear. Till we got to the truck, I told JB we're just going to sit here for a little bit. And a bluebird flew over and landed on an apple tree in the orchard right next to the truck. And we're watching this, and oh man, they're beautiful blue. I said, have you ever seen an indigo bunting? I said, oh, they're beautiful. The blue on them is so radiant and so vibrant, and the whole bird's blue. It's just a little thing, and I'm explaining indigo buntings to JB. Now remember, I went to get away. That was what I wanted to see. That's where I wanted to be, out there in God's world, in God's kingdom, where it's just Him and I. I don't have to worry about anything about being a pastor. Just being rich and rich in Christ. I love my name when it comes to that kind of stuff. And the very next day, JB and I were out. And we had a wonderful morning. We had turkeys talking to us, had them within 70 yards. Just couldn't close the deal. Have you ever been there? You just couldn't close the deal and you feel frustrated? Don't. God has other things in store. So we went to our next spot, and when we got to the next spot, we went out, started calling, and lo and behold, we actually had two gobblers answering us. I was so excited. I'm thinking, JB's going to kill a turkey. JB's going to kill a turkey. You're all thinking, what does this have to do with our story? Well, just wait. We got done hunting. It was late. We had walked probably 4 miles. And for you guys that know me, that's a pretty good hike for pastor. So till we got back to the truck, we're sitting here. I told JB, we're just going to sit here for a minute. Let me catch my breath before we take off. And there in front of me, from me to Martha Potts, an indigo bunting landed directly in front of the truck. And I just looked at JB. I said, do you see that? I said, there's an indigo bunting. Let him who has eyes see, and let him who has ears hear. Because the pastor who wanted to get away found himself yet in Christ's way, in the way of Christ, speaking the grace and the gospel, speaking the love that a brother needed to hear, sharing the relationship of Christ to his people, opening up his life yet again, pouring out, even though there was nothing left to pour out, I needed to get away to be filled. What did God do? In one instance, he filled my cup to overflowing because he was there showing himself to me the whole time in a stupid little blue bird. That's my God. He knows what we need. He knows how to fill us up. But we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Just like these people were hearing words and seeing things that they did not understand. How many of us go at life in a reality of we're part of this world and we don't see the things of the world that we really belong to? We need to open our lives up to the reality of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit there within. From the book of Ephesians in the 2nd chapter, I want us to gain that reality and come to the place of understanding just who and whose we are and why it is so important for us to understand these truths and these realities. From the verse 1, again, we're going to read a portion of Scripture here through 19. It says to us here the reality of what life was prior to Christ. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's when we make pledge to this world, that's who we're pledging ourselves to. Now, I don't want everybody to think that I'm saying America is the great Satan. That's what ISIS says and Islam and what have you. I'm simply talking worldly things. When you pledge your allegiance to the worldly things, you're pledging your allegiance to the one who is the prince of this world. Let us read on. Among them, we too all formerly lived with the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raises us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by those so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments containing the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. We are in Christ citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We have been given that establishment by the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary and established by his resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Without any portion of it, none of it would be true. But with all of it coming together, there is a fullness therein that we cannot deny who he is and what he has done for us. And the fact that we are no longer established in this world, or of this world rather, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are of a heavenly world, a place that is above this place, and a place that exceeds all expectation. Now, does that mean that this world does not affect us? Let me ask you folks a question. How many of you feel like sending your children to school knowing that the boys can go into the girls' locker rooms and the girls can go into the boys' locker rooms and any bathroom now is open play for whoever wants to go in wherever they want to go? How many of you love President Obama's new decree? He decreed it on Friday, that way he wouldn't hear anything, he couldn't have anything said until Monday. You get a whole weekend where you just have to swallow it. Don't you love the way the prince of this world works? And Obama is not the prince of this world. He's simply being used by that power, just as many of us can be in that reality. Please do not hear me saying that Obama is the Antichrist or anything like that. He's simply a fallen human being that is being used, just as any of us can be used to tear things down or build things up. Amen? We need to remember that the spiritual forces that we fight against are real. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the powers and principalities of this dark world. And that, dear brothers, is a reality. Because we have to understand something. We look at our world and we see all the different nations, okay? We have Great Britain and America and Canada and Mexico and Brazil and all the countries in South America. And then in Africa, we have Nigeria and Mozambique. And you know, I can go through, I think there's 30 of them there. And then in Europe, we have Germany and France and Spain and Italy and Greece and all those countries. And then in Asia, okay? We look at the number of countries in our world, and it is so divided. But out of all those nations, God has chosen men and women to be His church, and we are one in Christ. We're not many. We are one in Christ. Now, there's also a problem with that, because there are many who are among the one who are not of the one. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? In the book of Revelation in chapter 17, please turn there. Revelation chapter 17. I'm not going to read this. I'm simply going to point it out, and I want you to see that, you know, hey, pastor's speaking truth here. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, speaks of a great harlot or a great prostitute. Okay? Who is this great prostitute that's going to be revealed in the end time? It's the apostate church. For years, many of the reformers thought it was the Catholic Church. It's not the Catholic Church. It's the apostate church, which covers all generations up to this very one. And in every church throughout the world, every local body, there is apostasy taking place. There are those who do not belong to the body of Christ. They come to church and they do all the regulations therein, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the apostate church. We have churches here in the United States that we can identify because we understand that they do not hold to the Word of God. You know, if I were to go to them and say what I did to you about the bathroom issues, they'd say, well, that's fine. And in the church today, we find so many new theologies coming out. How many of you know the new theology on hell? Oh yeah, there's a new theology on hell, because the new theology, and I just found this out, it was just so amazing to me, the new theology on hell is this, and I love it, because it's not eternal torment anymore. That would be too hard, okay? It's not eternal torment. Hell doesn't last forever. When you go to hell, you just die and are no more. Excuse me? I don't think that's what the Scripture says, but this is a new theology. This is a new theology that's coming out, and they're using Scripture to try and prove their point that it's just eternal non-existence. Wait a minute. That's a big oxymoron. How can you have eternal non-existence? Because once you no longer exist, you're not eternal any longer. How can you say these things and actually believe them? This is the problem, because they are not of the kingdom. They don't see the things of the kingdom. They are of the world and therefore try to make excuses or reason or logic, and it makes no sense. It's like the Big Bang Theory. Okay? It's like the Big Bang Theory. Everything that is, all the matter that exists, existed in one teeny tiny little molecule that was so dense that it finally blew up. Bang! And then everything that's here is here. You see, I got a problem with that. Because I just learned the other day that dark matter, which is things that we can't see, we can't weigh it, we can't hold it, but we know it's there. Dark matter makes up 96% of our universe. Dark matter makes up 96% of our universe. What we can know, see, touch, feel makes up 4% of the known universe. And our scientists tell us that, yep, we understand pretty much everything in the universe now. You don't even know what 96% of it's made of. This is the problem that we see happening. This is the reality between the two, because which one requires more faith? Believing in humanity and what man can do and say, or believing in a God who has revealed it all to us and given us the hope of glory? And the men will dream dreams and have visions, and I'll pour out my spirit upon my manservant and my maidservant and brothers and sisters, and it is happening right now. It is happening in and through each and every one of us. As we give ourselves to God, He will pour out in our lives. We need to understand that when it comes to the end, there are only going to be a certain number of players involved. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. Oh, don't worry, don't turn there. Look at the book of Ezekiel. I think it's in chapter 38. Yes, it is, Ezekiel 38. When you go there, what you're going to find, please write that down because I'm running short on time. This is a long sermon, and I don't want to go there because it's just too much to read. You're going to find that there are names of nations in there. Now, the names of those nations do not correspond with any of the nations that we know now. There's names in there like Gog and Magog and some of these other things, okay? But if you do the historical research, you'll find out that they're talking about Russia and Turkey. Those are the ones in the north. And then it also speaks of those who are going to come from the east. And they're going to come in and they're going to wage war with Israel to take over Jerusalem, to take over the Holy Land. Now, in those passages in the book of Ezekiel and in the book of Romans, when you start to look at Revelation, you don't see anything in there about some kingdom from the west. And we have to remember that we are considered from the west. Why? Because the people who discovered our nation were from the west. And what direction did they go to find us? West. So we're not from the east, we're from the west. And there's nowhere in there where it speaks of this great and powerful nation from the east that's going to come and save Israel. Ain't there. It's not in the book. So we have a problem as people of the United States. Because we want to see that God's going to answer our prayers. God's going to hear us and He's going to save our nation. Folks, would you please realize this is your nation. This is the nation you're praying for, not that one. That one will perish. Why? Because this nation is a nation of man and it has walked away from its God. It happens in every generation. Well, not generation, it happens in every nation, where the nation starts well but ends very poorly. Okay? It is one of the laws of thermodynamics that once a thing is started, it generally doesn't get better, it gets worse. It runs down. How many of you bought a new car and it got better as it went? I want to know where you bought it. I want one. I haven't found one that does that. And it's the same in life. Because as people realize they can get something for nothing, the more they want. Amen? And isn't that what Thomas Jefferson spoke at the beginning? He said in one of his letters, when the people understand that they can grant themselves egress from the treasuries, it's over. We've been doing it for how long? How many of you are relying on your Social Security for your retirement? I'm relying on Jesus Christ for my rapture. That's what I'm relying on. Out of here, don't need to worry about it. There's treasure in heaven that I'll never have to worry about, because my kingdom, my nation is this one, not that one. So we need to understand something. As we find ourselves moving towards the end, we need to begin changing our prayers that the kingdom would increase, that God would heal His nation. In other words, that He would draw people out to Himself. Because in the end, it's all going to fall apart. No nation is going to stand. But yet we want to, America is so great. America is great. I would not want to live in any other nation, because I can still, yet to this day, stand up here and preach this word. Amen? And I love the United States. I hate to see where she is, but do you think the founding fathers would not be turning in their graves if they knew what was going on? You know they would. You know they would. It so amazes me we live in a nation that says it's okay to kill babies, it's okay to have an abortion. But yet, if you're a gentleman or a lady and you're driving a car and you have an accident, not an on purpose, what do they call it? An accident. And there's a lady in the vehicle who's pregnant and the baby dies that's within her. Guess what you just committed? I'm just saying. On one hand, it's a choice. On the other hand, it's murder. How can you? Those two hands never meet. But yet it's the same resolve. How can we say something like that out of both sides of our mouth? We're saying the exact same. We're over here, we're saying, and over here, we're saying, and we're, oh yeah, but this is all good. No, it's not, people. We're not right. This nation's not right. This nation, the United States, it's headed to hell in a handbasket. Are we to ask God to bless this nation and to restore this nation? Yes, we're told that. We're told that we are to pray for our president and our government, for all our leaders, right? But it's up to them to turn to God, right? So while we're at this work, we're also supposed to be out there speaking one-on-one with people because there's a kingdom for them to inherit. There's a nation in eternity that is for them, and that is only through Jesus Christ. So we need to begin thinking a little bit different about Pentecost and just what it means and how it plays out in our lives. Because according to the book of Jude, again, I don't want to read it because I'm really running along on time. Like I said, this is a long sermon. Look at the book of Jude. Please write these references down. Book of Jude, the entire book, okay? It's 25 verses. It'll take you 2 minutes to read it. Read it. What does it tell us in there? It tells us that there are going to be men who are going to come in among us and they're going to begin preaching and teaching a false doctrine. And that is exactly what we see. The great prostitute is already in play. We know Gog and Magog are coming against Israel. We can understand and see that at some point in time from the east is going to come another war. But it's going to happen when we as the United States of America are no longer on the major playing field. And we're headed there now. How many of you are really, really ready now? And I'm going to say this, it's going to be on the internet, and I may get in trouble for it. I have no idea. I don't care. It's already been out there, and I'm simply reiterating what has been said. How many of you are so mad right now that you're ready to say, you know, maybe it's time to impeach that guy? Because I'm telling you, he is doing unconstitutional things. This has nothing to do with anything else. What he has been doing is unconstitutional. It is against the very government that he is supposed to be leading because he's leading it as an emperor or a dictator. And my question is, do you think the next joker we get in is going to be any better? Look at our choices. Look at our choices. There's only one choice, isn't it? That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has given us the freedom and the glory, who has given us the Spirit, that we may be the people of God. That we may walk in truth and in spirit, for the Spirit of God is our guarantee. He is the guarantee of our citizenship in eternity, and we need to understand that we live in a country, but the United States is not our eternal residence. It is not the place to where we are going to pledge our allegiance for all of eternity. For that now, through the power of Jesus Christ and by the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, is eternity in heaven with God. Actually, it's going to be eternity here on earth with God as God creates a new heaven and a new earth after the millennium. And we don't even know what that's going to look like because He doesn't tell us. We just know that He's going to be here with us and we're going to be here with Him, and the relationship we're going to have is going to be far better than anything we could ever imagine because we'll be one with God. and we'll know Him. Right now, we can't even look in God's face. But in that day, we'll be able to sup with Him, the Creator of the universe, who created us for a love relationship. We'll finally be able to love His creation as He's always wanted to love us. Right now, we get little glimpses. We get blue buntings or indigo buntings in front of our truck. Are we going to have eyes to see and ears to hear? Are we going to be afraid to speak the prophecies, to tell someone on the street about Jesus Christ because, man, they're telling us not to? What does He tell us? To whom shall you pledge your allegiance? This is Pentecost Sunday, folks. And in this Sunday that I pray that we all remember and remember well to whom we belong and to whom we pledge our allegiance. Would you rise with me as we pray? Gracious Father, we thank You. We thank You for the faith of our fathers who brought forth this nation in the reality of Your Word. Because without that, Lord, many of us would not be here. But in that reality, we are here. Though the world, though this nation may be changing and may be moving away from You, Father, we need to understand that we're not. That the message is the same, the message is clear. May we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. May we be the people of Peter's message, that we would see Your visions and dream Your dreams, and that we would have the Spirit pour out upon us, that we would be the body of Christ in this world, drawing others that they may realize that last verse, verse 21, that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. For so too have we found that grace and stand therein. For blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.